Hello, this is the Pacific National Board Programming Committee of October 25th. And this is the chair, Nancy Saibar and Adi Tomy. And what is the time? It is 1:40 in Eastern time in the afternoon, Sunday. Okay, let me call the roll call. Shira Dedman. Shira, I do not hear you. Janine Etter. Janine? Etter?
Here. I was on mute, sorry. Here.
Thank you, Janine. Janine is here. Okay. And Sabrina Jacobs? I do not hear you, Sabrina. Okay. From KPFK, Michael Atkins? Michael Atkins, I do not hear. Okay. That's in Oscar Uova?
Present here.
Oscar, present. Thank you. And Polina Vasiliev?
I'm here.
Polina is here. Polina Vasiliev is present. Okay. From WBAI, Jack Devine. Okay, Jack, I do not hear you. Sharon Salam?
I'm here.
Sharon Salam is present. Let's see. Ralph Pointner? Pointer? Ralph, I do not hear you. From KPFT, Wally James?
Here.
Wally's present. Thank you. And Sanford Weinman? Sandy? I do not hear you. I do not hear Sandy. Okay, from WPFW, Lucille Perez. I do not hear Lucille. And Thomas O'Rourke?
Here. Present.
Thomas is present. Okay, so we have quorum. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Heather Gray from WRFG. Sorry, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, no problem. No problem.
Heather present. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, and myself, Nancy Saibar and I, Tony from KPFT. That makes 8. Okay, now we have quorum. Okay, good. Now it's now the minutes. Very sorry, I sent them about maybe an hour ago. I'm not sure. September 13th? No, October 11th I sent. That's right. I took October 11th. Would you like to have some more time before we approve these minutes, like maybe the next time, since I just gave it to you an hour ago? Would you like to move to postpone the approval?
Yes.
Okay, good. We will do that, naturally. All right. Draft agenda. We were working on, in the last meeting of October 11th, on the Pacifica in the Streets. And at that time, Oscar was participating in he was right in the streets. We could hear it, chanting and something going on. And again, we don't have some kind of protocol, so it really would have been nice to have. And we talked about it, and I just set up a kind of a basic draft. This is not going to, I don't expect this to be the end result of our work, but we discussed, and I like to take up the discussion. Let's see, what did we say? We talked about a volunteer deputized team at each station, and they agree upon rules and training, and they allow 1 or 2 minute breaking news. And then the question Sharon asked is, how is the news determined to go on the air? I mean, who makes the decision? Does anybody want to answer that? I think isn't it the programmer? Can anybody answer or comment on that? And if somebody has to leave early, would you tell me? Then we'll let you go on first to comment. Anybody? Janine, Polina, Oscar,
well, yeah,
Heather?
In that case, I'll take it. Well, since I was the one who kind of bring this motion to start, it was a really interesting question, and I actually been in contact with 4 different board operators, because they will be it will be really, really important for the operators to know, you know, once everything, if when this thing gets set up. And I was kind of thinking on if it will be for them also to have like a final say, because in the end, they as operator have the responsibility on what goes in the air, you know, in the end. So the one thing that it always came, you know, about they're really, really afraid of mannequins. That's the first thing. Then even if there are a set of rules and provisions an idea on how to work, they will always gonna be afraid of management if something doesn't work properly. So in this case, the best way will be exactly that team of deputized persons who will be taken, who will have availability for be on air, work really, really close about the thematic or the basics of it. It pretty much will be at least three points of criteria. One, it will be is important or is related in any sense to Pacific Pacifica work. If it's urgent to a point where at that particular moment is either take it or lose it, and the last one kind of skips my mind right now, but it was pretty much related to if it's definitely important to the community. So that will be the ones to kind of round out the criteria on what it will be, but it will be really important to at least have a memo or you know, a readout on what these criteria will be, because at that point they will know it will be their top of the hour, you know, the middle of the hour, and the people who are authorized to do that. It will not be anyone, you know, someone who is not already into the whole process. You know, it will be somebody at least in some sort of list of persons to be for that time to be available to them. But in the end, I think is especially like right now in KPFK that we just lost a news guy, Ernesto Arce. Yeah, that was kind of like a shocker. But on the other hand, well, according to the numbers, looks like that was the first thing to go. So yeah, I think there will be an excellent, of course, not something to be taken as news per se, but at least we have, the idea in the end is to have somebody out in the streets at any moment with important information. I close my.
Okay. Oscar, you said deputized team, and then I could not understand what you said second. And then you said, is it a decision to decide it's urgent to take it or lose it, and then related if it's important to the community. So did you say something after deputized team? Am I leaving out something important?
No, I do think so. Maybe sometimes the noise, the background noise or whatever, sometimes makes put something extra there. Yeah, but in general, that's the gist of it.
I see. Any other programmer want to chime in? Janine, are you here? Heather?
This is Janine. I think I was just a little bit confused about the question of who authorizes it. I wasn't understanding. Was that more referring to like a program director or something like that? I'm sorry, I wasn't at the last meeting, so I'm just trying to get clear.
No, that's okay. Oscar, are you saying this is under the leadership of the program director, right, or the under him, right? He or she is the last person, right, to decide?
Well, at the first point, it will be, of course, this is volunteer, you know, first of all.
Yes.
So that will be the first step. Then, of course, it will be somebody either knowledgeable or at least with a good sense to be out on the street to say, well, yeah, maybe this is something I can do, you know, either as as a producer, as a person, on-air person, even, you know, somebody on any of the in any of the boards. I mean, whoever wants to take this endeavor seriously and kind of know the principles of Pacifica and the idea that what we do in general, and it will be just, you know, be on the list, you know, and have a basic basic set of rules, you know, timing, a process, and hopefully good sound, not like me last Sunday to try to look for a nice place out of, but in their head, to give the people the idea of what's going on, why it's going on, you know, the very basics, why, where, and when, you know. Other than that, I think it's open for whoever wants to get in. Imagine how crazy it will be that all of a sudden three or four people wanted to go on the air. That will mean that there was something that was missing, and now we found it, and maybe we can extend it at some point.
Okay. Are you finished, Oscar? Yes, Paulina, go ahead.
Okay, so the protocol is every board operator has to receive a document that they have to sign at the end of their shift that they played what was expected, right? Now, the reality is a bit different. you have to play it by ear often, right? And also producers have egos, and sometimes they will just run their show past they will not respect the clock. I mean, I'm in here, maybe I'm speaking a bit out of turn. I'm not a board operator, but I work with them. Very often it's, you know, it just, whatever happens. basically, I think, Nancy, is your question this, who would authorize it? Yes, it would be the program director. Absolutely, the program director. I would have to issue some kind of a directive to board operators to allot, let's say, 5 minutes at the top of the hour or 5 minutes at the bottom of the hour, and they would have to work with programmers and figure out where to, how that would work. Absolutely. And that directive would go to board ops, board operators. Yeah, I mean, as simple as that. Okay, as simple and as complicated as that.
Well, I mean, I think Janine was asking, does it include the program director? And I always thought it did.
Certainly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. does anybody have a breaking news, like, protocol at their station?
I don't know. For KPFK, I actually have no idea, and that's a very, very good question.
How about
Thomas to the stat.
Okay, Thomas, go ahead.
PFW, no. I mean, there are, you know, basically five-minute headlines at the top of an hour on a regular basis throughout the day. And it seems to be, let me get this straight. We want to encourage street reporting across the network, and that's what I assume this motion is trying to get at. But, you know, we can't decree capacity. We can encourage the network to organize itself to sort of try to slot this stuff in. But if there isn't a program director, you know, sort of there at the station or a news director that makes these calls, I mean, yeah, I suppose everyone knows, that, especially the programmers, how jealous they are of their sort of time. So I'm just asking, we are sort of decreeing this policy, but at the same time, we recognize that the capacity across the network is very sporadic or, you know, uneven. BAI, I don't know, you know, their news department is sort of coming back together, but it's still a joint PFW-BAI daily broadcast. Our news goes to them. I know that. And so I'm just asking the question: are we, you know, sort of decreeing this without, you know, realizing this, or is it because it's, you know, is it LA specific or LA and Berkeley that have the capacity, Oscar?
You know, thank you. In the end, you're right. This pretty much comes to, you know, as a quick observation of, oh man, it will be cool if this that is happening right now could be, you know, selling to the airways, or at least to let to some part of our audience that this is happening, and hopefully somebody will pick it from there, you know, the news department, if it is one, or at least the whole idea that in the end is to present and to get closer to the communities and to organizers, or in the end, you know, pretty much just to comply with one of the principles of Pacifica, which is, you know, power to the people. And from there, again, this it just kind of, to be honest with you, and we always accepted it, we just came as from an observation, and then it started taking legs. Once we recognize the importance of something that it is not there, but it will be really important if it is, or in the end, maybe this should have happened, you know, years ago, or maybe somebody at some point tried to do it, and for different reasons, maybe they didn't brought it to the right place. Like, we have lucky to have now this committee working, where, you know, we recognize that it might be really, really important, because in the end, we need to expand our audience, and of course, to serve, and also, well, to get the so badly needed funds that we are always lacking. So in the end, again, this is a work in progress, and every observation like yours that is really astute, because in the end, it will be not be what is in my idea is not to be substituting anything. It will be to actually putting, you know, to adding to not only to the programming, but to the whole sense of the community radio.
Yeah.
Wally for Stack.
Go ahead.
Okay. Did I hear Wally first?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I think so.
Deneen, do you have to leave early? I mean, if anybody or Heather have to leave early, just tell me so I will, you know, ask you to speak before we go. Go ahead, Wally.
I was going to talk about KPFT right now, you know, because of COVID. We have programmers pre-recording their shows and putting them on the air, so there's no way to call in with something like that. We don't have a program director. There's not really a news department. We have some volunteers that are doing a once-a-week news show. But, you know, so for now, you know, we're not doing any of this. So I don't know, how that's even going to be applicable to us until we're back on the air live. But that's what I can say.
Yes. Thank you, Wally. Okay. Thomas, you said, I think you were understanding that this is a network-wide breaking news, and I never imagined that was what we were trying to do. We just had a problem that we all agreed. There's no breaking news protocol in any of the stations. And
right,
we need to
right.
have that's the problem. And so Oscar, what he was saying is that he didn't say, per se, each station make their own breaking news, but I would think each station should make and establish their own breaking news team of volunteers and have a list and have it at the station where the engineer can confirm this is the person that's calling in is actually on the team, and then have some training and rules, and that they evolve and make their own format or their own rules, or and then share it with the other stations' breaking news team. At KPFD, we don't have anything live right now except Democracy Now! Or an execution. That's about it. Everything else is pre-record. But we will someday, soon, hope, get back to live. How about at WRFG in Atlanta? What do y'all do for breaking news? You have some?
Yeah, not enough, actually, because we're in the same situation where we're not going into the studio. We do have a program director or an operations director, and right now, actually, we're in the process of seeking a new station manager as well. But and we've had about 50 people, actually, sending in applications for station manager. It's huge. But we do have PSAs. We have announcements that our producers have on the air 15 minutes past the hour and 45 minutes past the hour that are integrated into our programs that we're submitting to be put on the air. I must say, though, that in the past, Yvonne Dooley, he passed quite a few years ago. He actually served on the Pacifica board for a while. He was just wonderful. But he would bring in young folks into the studio in the morning who would produce programs or updates, news updates, what was happening in the community. It was, you know, I'd have to, you know, look more into, you know, adequately express the model, but I thought it was wonderful. And I've been talking to folks at WRG that we need to get back to something like that. So we don't have, just to repeat, we don't have anything really necessarily that focuses on, quote, breaking news. We don't have that, except for what the producers themselves do themselves independently. So I need to mention that.
I'm still waiting to get on the set.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Sean. I missed you. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right, because I'm not a programmer.
So, no, it's okay. Your listener is important. Go ahead.
Okay, now, I would think that to accomplish this, you would have to, we would have to integrate more voices into this conversation because at DAI, we're the majority of the people are sending their programs. They're not in the station. And it's like if you have upgrading news, how are you going to contact these people who are not locally in the station? And then you're preempting their programs to do what you feel is worthy news, even if you're on site with that. Some of these people might have an hour show, 2 hour show, and they may have planned their show out already. That's why I'm saying we probably would need to reach out to get a consensus with a broader group of people to see if it is possible that this could work. Then the other problem I see having is most of this news that would be interrupting the stations would probably be during the day and during the evening. So you're intermingling with stations, the same stations all the time. It's almost like if you go to a demonstration, it's planned from 5 to whatever time. Or if you go if it's in the daytime on the weekend, it's between this and that time. So you're working with the same interruptions of the station, of these particular stations all the time. It's not that they are going, you have exciting news, or these people are going to be out searching for exciting news to present 24 hours. That's just my fault.
Oscar, to the
Nancy,
stack.
This is Heather. Could I be put back in the stack sometime, whenever?
Okay, you're back on the stack.
And Paulina as well.
Nancy.
Okay. All right, Heather, Paulina, Thomas, go ahead.
Okay, well, I would say this.
Did I miss somebody? Is it Thomas's turn? Did I miss somebody? Okay,
I think we're confusing a little bit the difference between street journalism and, you know, this idea of breaking news. And I can't imagine any station really doing this without some kind of news department. So if you don't have a news department, it occurs to me that, you know, given Oscar's issue and given LA, maybe we should focus on, you know, trying to help them develop a model of street, not only street journalism, which is not necessarily the same as breaking news. It's just, you know, you're recording live demos and things like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be reported, you know, immediately. It could be deemed breaking news. But, you know, you see how breaking news is done on in sort of networks, and it is the latest they read from a wire, you know, oftentimes. So there's a difference between street journalism and breaking news. And given, you know, and maybe we do need to focus on the L.A. branch being, you know, sort of a model that can then be replicated. But you can't, I don't see how it can be done without some minimum news department that, you know, that has, that coordinates with a program director. Because if you were going to do breaking, you know, you have to have, you know, at least access to the engineering booth to suspend the program currently going and read something. Or, you know, or it's done in a regular way. Like I said, you know, in our place, it's, you know, the headlines every hour, and that can be, that often is breaking news, and that's about as often as, you know, an audience can, you know, I don't think you need to have breaking news every 10 minutes like they do on MSNBC or CNN. So, I, you know, we're confusing the two, I think. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm wrong. And, you know, and yes, and we should initiate and develop a model of street journalism that sort of fosters that kind of training, and but in coordination with, you know, like I said, a news department, which it'd be, at PFW, we're trying to help buttress. We know it's, you know, it's, it does exist. There's three people. But they need, you know, they need for us to expand or do more coverage, we, you know, would need to get more people. That's for sure. All right, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. I really don't see the difference between street journalism and breaking news. Breaking news is bigger. Is that what you meant, Thomas?
Like street journalism may not necessarily have to be told to the people, you know, at 6 p.m. drive time. It could be, you know, it could be a speech, an important speech made from a soapbox, you know, in the middle of Union Square or something like that. But it's different from the breaking news. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Heather, go ahead.
So I'm not sure if this is quite relevant to what we're saying here, but I do want to mention, however, that with our public service announcements, it includes announcements about upcoming demonstrations and so forth, right? So I'm assuming that most other stations do the same kind of thing. So and I'd like to hear about that sometime as well, because I don't know what other stations are doing as far as public service announcements are concerned. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say, Nancy. Thanks.
Okay. Paulina.
Yes. So, capacity at stations, as far as this model that's being proposed, it's very different, definitely. What Wally mentioned about KPFT is KPFT's situation is dire at this point, so there's absolutely no possibility to do live coverage of anything at this point. I know that. Now, at KPFK, we don't have a news department anymore at all. And I would like to hear from anybody from who's on the call from KPFA, because KPFA has A, a news department, and B, KPFA has a training program. So I'm wondering if anybody on this call, perhaps Janine, could comment on the KPFA Berkeley protocols, training especially for stringers, and that kind of stuff. I'm very curious to know.
Okay. Next is Oscar.
This is Janine. I'll be on the stack to answer that question.
Okay. Oscar, can Janine answer that question, and we'll go to you. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm really, really interested and excited to hear.
I thought so. Janine, go ahead.
All right. Well, this is if I'm understanding it correctly, and if not, please clarify. I work in the news department as a board operator and a technical producer for the evening news. And if you're asking what do we have in place in terms of stringers, I think you mean in terms of our reporters, because we had a regular 6-week training program that happened about quarterly, about every 3 months, to train a new set of reporters who are volunteers. And I think the other part of that question was about protocol. Was that correct? It was something about stringers, and what was the other part?
Yeah, sorry, let me rephrase. One was about your training program for volunteers.
Right.
Thank you for answering that. And is that program training program only for local volunteers? I assume, right? It's not
yes.
Applicable to the whole network. Right. So that's something that we need to perhaps emulate or learn from across the network. And the other question was about protocols for what happens, let's say, if something hot is happening at this particular moment, how to break in, right? Let's say a particular show is being played, what's the protocol to interrupt it? So, for instance, just to give you an example, I was part of the bilingual coverage of the election in Mexico when Andrés Manuel López Obrador was elected. And I remember that we had special coverage for that. And then, of course, folks were in studio and in master control, getting people on the phone from on the ground, right? But that was kind of planned. We knew that was going to happen at that particular time. And now what happens if, let's say, something is happening at that particular moment and it's not planned? How do you guys take care of that?
Well, we have breaking news coverage in the mornings from about 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. twice in the middle, at the top of the hour and at the half hour mark. And then from about 8 a.m. to noon, it's at the top of the hour breaking news coverage. And then from noon until 4, there's really no, I don't think there's a top of the hour breaking news
mm-hmm.
coverage all the way up until the 6 p.m. News hour. Like at 4 p.m., there's top of the hour, and then I think it just breaks until 6 p.m. People just email the news department. I mean, I've on my show on Upfront, like when there's been breaking news, and I came in, and they would tell me that there was something that I had to cover, and I would have to get a guest immediately to talk about it. I mean, I don't know that there's a protocol. I think things just kind of happen, other than, like I said, the breaking news that happens at the top of the hour and half hour
mm-hmm.
On the morning shows. That's all I can think of. I did send an email to the news department while we were talking to ask about mm-hmm. protocols I could share in terms of breaking news protocols, but that. Off the top of my head, that's all that I have. And I can get some more information and send it to the group.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Nope.
Nancy, can I do a quick follow-up?
Yeah, I'm want to be on the
show. Oh, yeah, Oscar is waiting. Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Oscar.
Please go ahead, Paulina. Please go ahead, please.
Okay. I was just going to mention that our management has just announced that given that we no longer have a news director, we have been for a while playing news from KPFA, right, at 6. and for half, you know, half an hour, and I think it will be 15 minutes where it used to be produced locally, and the other 15 or so, a little bit less than that, of course, were from you guys, from KPFA. But now it's been announced that the proposal is as of October 26th, which I assume, oh, but that means it's started or should be starting already, we'd be taking a full hour of news from KPFA. I'm wondering, do you guys produce a full hour at 6?
Yes.
Okay, I see. So we'll be taking that full hour is what the proposal is from our program director. And that's it. That's all that's all I want to comment for now. Oscar, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I definitely see the few questions, which on the other hand is pretty good. I mean, it looks like this small idea is something that definitely is taking form. I'm happy to hear this again, because this kind of came just as a small observation. And I'm for sure wondering if, you know, in the past, anyone, either a program director or news director, will ever have this idea, or at least the whole concept, you know, let's put out in the streets the KPFK is serving the community, I mean, the Pacific in general. Well, I'm just focusing here. But it's close to the community, and I bet that we are in a unique position to actually do that, the fact that we are not compromised by any of an advertisement or any overriding or any underwriting, that we are completely free and open to take these novel ideas. I'm crazy to say that it means, you know, to be in contact with your community one way or another, and especially, you know, and of course, not in the idea, it was never to be in substitution of regular news or even breaking news, to be honest with you, Thomas. I take your point. We are confusing the whole thing, but all of a sudden it seems like depending on which station is all the stations are at this moment, you know, some with not even access to their facilities or pre-recorded programs. Yeah, it looks like this pretty much all of a sudden takes a different form according to every station. But in the end, I do agree that we have to start at some point, and I think the fact that we have the urban areas like, you know, like LA or San Francisco or Houston, I mean, that definitely is something that it will help us kind of shape, you know, the detail according to each community. But in the end, at some point, it might be a mixture of everything, but with one focus, to be in contact to what is important on our community, again, following the Pacifica mission. So, I'm really, really happy to hear all these questions, because if we have questions, that means that we, at some point, going to have answers. And again, this will be, of course, presented to the program director. And I'm wondering if at some point, once we have something like three quarters cooked, we can say, okay, my friend, this is what we in the programming, the national programming committee, are working. We need your input, and we because hopefully at some point, wherever this comes, as something we're going to have to present to them. Of course, you should have the programming director's input too. So thank you. I got my point.
This is Sharon. Can I just ask a quick question?
Yes. Is that Sharon? Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
Yes. The question is the training that you all are using, is it available to be shared with other stations? Like, is it in writing? You know, how does it work?
Denise?
Is that a question for me? Okay.
Yeah.
For the news department, Mark Miracle, who's one of the news directors, he has the training. I know that it's in writing. I don't know whether or not it can be shared. I would assume so, but I can ask. But I don't think that's ever come up before, but I can't imagine why it wouldn't be. But it is in writing.
Nancy, this
okay,
is Heather. That might be helpful.
Okay, whose voice was next? I couldn't hear.
This is Heather. I just wanted to know if I could be put on the stack.
Okay. Go ahead, Heather.
So I'm just curious, what Felina was talking about taking the KPFA news, it seems strange to me. Of course, I don't know, unfortunately, what the news is like at KPFA, but it seems to me that that the station in Los Angeles would want more local coverage, right? Is that right, Felina? Is that what you're seeking ultimately? And I, of course, I don't know what KPFA is doing, but wouldn't you want more coverage of what was happening locally in the Los Angeles area and mm-hmm. Southern California and so forth?
Nancy, may I?
Go ahead, answer. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Of course, ultimately, absolutely, we want a robust local news department with at least a news director, with a lot of reporters on the ground who may or may not be volunteers. But the problem is that KPFK is going through a dire financial situation, and we had to cut staff. So that was the decision upon the suggestion of our GM that we let go for now of our the few news staff people on that we had hired, right, that were working there. So, no, of course, it's not an ideal situation. It's a solution that our management is proposing right now, to just pipe in news from Northern California. And I'm sure that some of our listeners many of our listeners will miss local coverage. Now, hopefully, I'm hoping that KPFA, knowing that that's what's going to happen, that they have the capacity to reach out to local folks in Southern California and dedicate at least part of that hour to covering relevant events in our signal area, which is different, of course, from the KPFA signal area. So I don't know. I am not part of that decision-making process. I am just commenting, as well as a spectator, right? Just curious, same as you, Heather. I have the same questions. I don't really have any answers, just questions at this point.
So I just have a quick response to this, because, and we don't
go
need
ahead,
to get
Heather.
Into we don't need to get into a dialogue about this right now. But I don't see why you have to have anyone paid actually to work on the news. I mean, I don't know why you can't have volunteers who would do this on the whole. Which I think would be better, actually, rather than having a lot of paid staff to do this. But anyway, we don't need to talk about that right now. I just wanted to bring that up.
Nancy,
well,
I may
glad you brought it up.
Oh, yeah, but after you, Nancy. Yeah, or
no,
after
no,
you.
Please,
you
go
want.
Ahead.
Yeah,
no,
I just want to say, I want to mention, Heather, thank you for saying that. I want to mention a very successful model of that. We do have a completely volunteer-based newscast in Spanish. It airs every day at 8 p.m. On KPFK. It's half an hour long, and it's headed by Fernando Velasquez. He's been doing it as a volunteer for many, many years, and he has a bunch of reporters across the world, really. They rain or shine, it comes out, you see, and it's a fully volunteer-based model. Now, there is, it's a big conversation because, of course, there's that, and Janine can attest to that, I'm sure, there are folks in Pacifica who are saying, well, it should be compensated, this kind of work. And I agree, any work, good work, should be compensated. At the same time, perhaps given our community radio model, and as we're asking our listeners to pitch in, and we know that there are a lot of people who just want to cut their teeth at something, or they just, you know, they just want to relate, share whatever's going in their on in their communities, as long as they're trained and as long as there's a competent person packaging it and producing it and making it sound good, making it into good radio, not just, you know, chatter. Then the model of volunteer news actually does work. There are attested examples, such as Informativo Pacifica, which I think is one of the best produced news in the network. And even if you don't understand Spanish, you listen to it, you know it sounds good. So that's just it. That's all I have to say for now.
Well, thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing that too. Thanks.
Does anybody...
Paulina, did you say that's a daily half hour?
That's correct.
Yes,
it's a daily half hour.
Okay.
8 p.m. Yep.
All right.
Okay. Can you say the name of the show one more time? Informativo.
Informativo Pacifica.
Okay.
Like Pacifica
okay.
Radio, right? Yep. Informativo Pacifica. Look it up. And I have to mention this. If you look at the stats, at the statistics as to listenership and download rates, it's as popular as the Jimmy Dore show. It's in the top ranking, one of the top ranking shows on our grid as far as online.
Well, does it make you money?
Well, it's only half. Oh, wait. Well, it's
does the Latin
yes,
audience,
it
does the Spanish speaking audience give?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good.
And it actually give. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they also pitch as opposed to our English language news. They didn't really do much pitching, so you know they wouldn't really raise much money or any money. but the Spanish language half hour did pitch and does pitch and does raise.
Okay, good.
Nancy,
the question: the Informativo Pacifica. It is local news in Spanish, right, and international news at the same time.
Paulina, I can answer that. It's local, national, and international.
Wow.
And also, because it gets picked up because it gets picked up by many different radio stations across the world. I would say, you know, it gets played in Venezuela and in Mexico and in other countries. Because it's in Spanish, of course, it's a Spanish-speaking world. It has a focus. It has an international focus. It's not really Los Angeles local news. So we're missing that. That, in that sense, in Spanish, what we are missing is local news in Spanish. But that also is due to the fact that there's no budget. Anyways, I mean that would be a question for the news director of the project, Fernando Velasquez. But the Informativo Pacifica has a local, national, and international focus, mainly international, I would say.
Okay, that's so interesting. But we got to get back to local news where there's no news department. That's kind of the worst situation. Well, KPFD is the worst, but it would seem like what Heather said, the it should be free. I mean, volunteer. You don't have to stop volunteers from having a news team. I mean, that's when you should have a more flexible team, I would think, and they just contact each other with telephones maybe. They can still organize a team even though there's no paid staff team, right?
I completely agree.
Oh, okay. All right. Janine, is it possible we can go online to KPFA and we can find the Mark Miracle's training manual, or it would not be there?
Not that I'm aware of. I just, again, I'm sending emails while we've been on the call. I did just send an email to ask about a manual or something like that that can be shared, but...
Okay, so are you part of the news team, Janine?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you do breaking news? Do people just call you, or is it a programmer that will call you and you trust that programmer?
Most people email either the news directors, like we have news at kpfa.org is the email, and get in touch with the news directors in that way, or call.
News at kpfa.org. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they email the news to the, I guess the program director looks at it, right? Or the news department?
No, just the news department.
News department. Okay. And then y'all research it and then just make a decision. How do you make the decision? It goes on the air or not?
I don't know that part.
okay.
Eileen Alfandari and Mark Miracle, they're the news directors. They usually make the decisions about.
Oh, okay. Two people. All right. I see.
Yeah.
Well, what we know now is just to tell that even without a paid staff, you can still do a news team. I mean, that's what Heather is saying.
Absolutely.
I don't know the older history, but of what's, I don't even know. I just knew the news director was paid, but she was let go in 2017, so we have not had a KPFT news director at all there. But that should not stop some kind of bit of news based on trust and decision. Okay, anybody else? Take a stab at this. First of all, we want to see what Janine has information, but has anybody sent, like Thomas sent something, Heather sent a manual several months ago or a couple of months ago. I have not had time to look at it, so if you know those content, can you speak up about anything that's pertinent to this situation? Heather, Thomas, either one.
Well, I wanted to say is that what I'd like to do, and I'll report back to the committee, I'm going to take a look at what a lot of the affiliate stations are doing as far as news is concerned. So let me do a little bit of research on that, and I'll report back to the committee. I'm looking forward to doing that, actually, as well. So I just wanted to say that, Nancy.
I see. Heather, I wanted to ask you, when you want to talk to several affiliate stations or maybe all 230 of them, you've got to go one by one, right? Down pacifica.net, network.org, you have to go and click each one and find the email and communicate with them,
yes,
right?
Yes, I guess that's true. I mean, what I generally do with the affiliates is just work through Ursula, you know, who's the head of the affiliate program. And then the affiliates have a meeting on Thursday afternoons that I've been going to as much as I can. It's just fascinating. And just so you all know, the affiliates also recently had the GRC conference, the Grassroot Radio Conference, that they do annually. And I went, you know, I think all of those programs are now on YouTube. What I heard when I was listening to some of the programs. I couldn't go to all of the meeting, but
uh-huh.
It was just excellent. I intend on listening to as many of those as possible. But all I'm saying is that I think there's, you know, a variety of models that all of us can explore, you know, as far as news, and I've used as one example, but other examples as well, probably. But so That's it for me right now. I will report. I'm going to look into this, and I'm going to report back to the program committee.
Heather, I have a question for you. This is Thomas.
Sure. Go ahead, Thomas.
Did you say you've been attending affiliate meetings, Pacifica?
Yeah, it's the affiliate. Okay, so Ursula,
the affiliate committee or whatever it was.
Yeah, so there is, on Thursday afternoons, they bring some affiliates together. I guess, I think tons of people are invited to come. They don't have tons of people at these gatherings, but they talk about various issues, right? Like what people are doing as far as producing at home, what are they doing to, because they can't go into the studios, right? So what are they doing? What is the process? And so I'm just using that as an example.
So this isn't a formal meeting of the network. It's not the affiliate committee of Pacifica, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, it is? Every Thursday?
Every Thursday afternoon, yeah.
I remember signing up for it and never hearing from them.
Oh, that's too bad. If you want to come, let me know. You got my email? Send it to me. Send me.
I'll find your email, yes.
Send me.
Send it to all of us if you can without getting in trouble.
Okay, sure. That'd be great. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I have never seen that. I've never seen it on KPFDX.
Nancy, could I respond to
it? I'll get information out to you all about this. I'll be talking with Ursula about it, too. But I'll be glad to get information to the program committee.
Yes, I remember that name, Ursula. Nancy, you asked me to mention something. Well, the program committee at PFW, we're still examining this draft of program or bill of rights realize we need to extend it and to finalize it, although we have no sort of management to talk to about it because Jerry Paris is sort of on leave for now, the other thing is, did I distribute an operations guide that I received from Katia, the program from our program director? It very clearly said like the first iteration was 2007, and the current and this draft was from 2014, so it's quite old. But she and we still haven't questioned her about it. But I'll say this: in looking at it, it's very clear that it provides for the program director and the program committee at each station to be sort of working strong, together. So Katia, in our case, our situation is improving in any case. But that's as far as I want to say about that. But if anyone had any other comments, it was about the operations guide. My first take on it is that, as well as the fact that it's very thorough in certain regards, but it's very clear that there isn't a Bill of Rights any way of any grievance procedure that's spelled out in this operations guide. So that's, I'm sure, exactly why, subsequently there were efforts to do this. So as I say, we're continuing to look at it and trying to revise the it, and we'll share it with the rest of you as soon as we can. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.